Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Kyle, I got Brett, and we have a very special guest, someone that we've been looking forward to for quite a while. We finally got her to come on. Welcome to the show, Julie Wong. Welcome, Julie.
Hi there.
And you're supposed to say one of our dedicated listeners, too.
Yeah, she's
a very long dedicated time,
long time, long time and dedicated.
No one forced me to be here.
No, we've been encouraging her to come on for a long time, but finally we were able to make it work out, and we are excited to have you on. So like we do with most of our first-time guests, Julie, we'd like to ask you a question. So what's God been highlighting to you recently?
Yeah, I think recently God has been highlighting to me, I think Brett, we've been talking about it a little bit, just like during small group and things like that, that our joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think God's been really showing me that a lot lately. Just, you know, no matter what life is looking like for me, that, you know, I can still have joy in Jesus, and I can still have joy in a lot of the little things too. And it's not necessarily how I want my life to look like. That might not be God's plan, but I can still have joy in it. And I think God's been showing that to me lately, and it's been pretty cool.
Sounds like maturity. That's good, because I was in that phase too. I was like, oh, I remember when I was younger, and like, why? Yeah, anyways, as you mature in your faith, it's like you can find joy in the things that God wants you to, and that's cool. Sorry, Brett, I cut you off there.
No, I was just going to say, knowing Julie and our small group and stuff, it's really, you know, iron sharpens iron. I think it's really sharpening for me to see that. Because joy is something that, I mean, okay, my wife will tell you, she's been telling me that I'm kind of like a robot. And so like when it comes to certain emotions, she's like, you don't experience or express them enough. And so joy is something where I did feel like, God was calling me to try to experience more of that joy and not just happy or feeling like things are good. 'Cause for the most part, I'm just like
even keeled.
Yeah. I'm just a chill guy. So I'm just like, I just try to keep everything pretty level. And so I've tried to do that here and there, but I guess I need to do a better job still. But to see Julie and us being able to share in that, I think has been good. Just to hear different perspective and know that you're not alone in it. And yeah, then we can have joy together and suffer together. So
find joy in your suffering, right?
True. Try to.
I mean, I think that's something that the enemy tries to associate with our circumstances, right? You're only allowed to have joy when things are going the way that you want. But I think that's where it's cool to see what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be able to experience joy that's not dependent upon our circumstances, a joy that's found in Him. And so I think that's a really cool word for us, for everybody, is that, you know, whatever circumstances you're in right now, the Lord wants you to be able to experience His joy, but we're only able to do that in Him, right? It's not dependent upon other things. So now we can transition to a subject that might not be as joyful.
You know, bum, bum, bum.
So this past Sunday, Pastor Barry gave kind of the second part of a two-part series on the themes that God's been highlighting for our church for this year. And this theme is walking in the light. So how did you guys feel
that sounds pretty cool. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, a lot of times the connotation of that is not as fun, right?
Oh, okay.
How'd you guys feel when Pastor Barry showed the video of the cockroaches?
I was glad I was not there to see that.
Oh, so you didn't watch
it? We were both not able to see it, but we heard it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
In the car. And I was like, what is this?
There was a lot. I mean,
so he showed a video of a manhole cover, and the guy lifted it up, and underneath was a ton of cockroaches.
Yeah, it was like hundreds, I think.
Or whoever was in the video remained pretty calm, where no one, I think one of the guys just was like, oh, just making a comment, like a casual comment about it.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, because it was on video, it wasn't that bad. But when I see him in person, Okay, I don't go to the level my wife does. She absolutely like hates cockroaches. I think they're gross, but it's more of like, now I got to trap it and kill it and get rid of it. But yeah, seeing that many was, if I had that in my house, I would probably actually be in a panic because that was an infestation.
I mean, if you have that many in your house, yeah, you should be panicking because
okay, true. When I helped move the fridge out of my grandma's house,
yeah.
There was a ton that came out of this crack, and it was pretty like, it just makes you feel like
get a little shiver, and
or just like, oh, this is gross. Like your stomach just doesn't feel good, and then you have to like kill them all, and they don't necessarily die easy. Yes. So, I'm glad I didn't have to.
Yeah, I used to live in an apartment like back in college when we moved in. Before we moved in, we'd open all the cupboards, right, to move in.
Yeah.
There was cockroaches that just came out everywhere. It was disgusting. I was like, why am I moving into this apartment?
Okay, well, I want to know more about that, but we'll ask off air. I want to see how you handled that, but okay. Maybe we need to get off the cockroach subject.
We just wanted to lighten the mood a little bit because, you know,
with
some
cockroaches.
Yeah. Okay. So how did Barry use the cockroach video of Damon?
Okay. So I don't know if it actually gave the impression of what he was looking for. So I wanted to give a little bit of story behind that. So Pastor Barry found a couple of videos of cockroaches, and this one was actually probably the best one. But what he wanted to show was that when cockroaches see the light, they scatter.
They scurry.
Yeah. So they run away from the light. And he wanted to make the implication for us that a lot of times when it comes to things like bringing up woundings, bringing up sin, bringing up things that we're ashamed of, that a lot of times we try to hide or we try to run away from that light. Mm. But what the Lord wants us to do is he wants us to bring it to him to set us free from the shame, to set us free from those things. And that's kind of more the point that he was getting. But yeah, we had a hard time finding a video that specifically showed cockroaches coming into light and running away.
Like, yeah.
It was really hard. So we just found a video of that, and they were kind of moving around a lot, but they weren't like, it wasn't just like they're running away.
They weren't
from
hiding. Yeah.
Mm.
So Kyle,
I want to see where you're going with this.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the point that Pastor Barry was trying to make, is that we need to have a mindset shift in how we look at, coming into the light, because a lot of times we're afraid of it. It's like we feel like we're going to get in trouble, or there's a shame associated with it, or things like that. But really what the Lord wants us to do is he wants to set us free from those things so that they're not entangling us anymore. They're not trapping us anymore. And so, you know, one of the things that happened during the service is that, you know, Bob came up and he shared a testimony of how God is setting him free from something that he's been struggling with for a long time. And really, I think that's what the Lord wants for all of us, is to be set free from those things.
So your question is?
Well, I thought you were just going to jump in with a comment.
I'm waiting. I'm not going to usurp your role.
Okay, so Kyle, we've been on this journey of walking in the light for, you know, a few months now with our staff and elders, and now passing it on to the lay leaders, and now moving on and adding in the whole congregation. Mm-hmm. How's this journey been for you?
I think it's interesting going through it where I am right now, because I think maturity level, it's different for me. So I don't think there's as much shame or even trying to hide. Where in the past, I think that would have been the first reaction of, they're asking me to expose something I either, sin or a wounding, and go back to that. I know in the past, I don't like that kind of stuff. So it would have been try to deflect or try to change the subject or try to dance around it and just, I'm good, or not be honest, I guess. But this time, I think it's highlighted for me like, I am different in my maturity. And I think going through the process, we went through it with our elders retreat and then with the leaders. I think the elders retreat was significant. And then when we got to the leaders gathering that we had in September, the first one, it was like, this isn't that big of a deal anymore. Or this, even in small group, talking to people about it, about sin or about shame or about things, I'm like, huh, I would have been really uncomfortable, I think, before. So it's an interesting journey. I didn't think we were going to be going this way, you know, 6 months ago or 8 months ago. And all of a sudden, I guess it's been about 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. Or 5 months. Yeah, it's good. It actually is. It feels very freeing to not have to look at my own struggles or sin in that light of I need to be ashamed or I got to hide behind it. So yeah, in some ways it's good. It's still, there's still aspects of it that are a little bit uncomfortable or hard, but for the most part, I think it's been more freeing. So we're going to circle the room. So Brett, you're next. Get ready, Julie, because you're after Brett.
Okay. The journey has been interesting for me more in the, I think, to see how it works collectively. I think personally, I learned at a pretty young age, which I would now characterize as like living in the light in terms of being open, vulnerable. For the majority of my life and things that I was going through, even tough things, it wasn't difficult to go to those places. Mm-hmm. There was a lot that I uncovered that I learned that, oh, this is a even deeper thing or the root. But I think what it looks like to live in the light with others and how to lead people in that has been the part that has been very growing and challenging. Not saying that I have it all together, because there's still a lot of ways that I've learned to do that, but the sharing part and being open and wanting to talk to people about things hasn't really been an issue for me. But then it's, how do I walk with others? How do I lead others? How do I see our church doing it as a part of staff? How do I contribute to the team or you know, think of ideas or when we're brainstorming or seeking God, okay, what does he want us to do in it? Mm-hmm. That's been the part where I think I've been challenged and grown a lot. And so it's been cool to see the, like when we had the elder staff retreat, I had no idea what was going to happen. And then to see what happened, to have the leaders meeting and gathering and stuff, I feel like they accelerated what Pastor Barry and the elders and the staff's hope was. Mm. And so that was really cool to see the response in that way. And to me, it was affirmation and stuff, but it also was like, to me, like a sign of hope just for people in general. Like, this is what people do desire, even if it's difficult. And so to see that response was, because they're coming into it like cold turkey too, right? Mm. They don't really know. And so you can be like, oh, I think people aren't going to want to do that. Or you can be like, no, I have faith that people want to jump in, or you just don't know where they're going to be. And so to see the response was like, oh, okay, this is cool.
And Julie, you were at the first leaders gathering. So how about your experience?
Yeah.
Or that or in or the topic in general. It doesn't have to be.
I mean,
just,
even how you got
that.
To the that leaders meeting was pretty cool too. That's the story behind that.
Yeah. Oh gosh, if I can remember. I think being at the leaders retreat, that was a really cool experience for me, because I think like many people, we weren't exactly sure what we were going for. I think what does Bob say? We were blindsided. Yeah. But I think it's for our good. And I think, you know, I didn't realize what it was going to be like, obviously. I think even getting there, you know, God made it pretty clear to me that this was going to be life changing, just in my encounters with other people who don't know the Lord. And so I think being there, it was obviously really heavy and really tough stuff, you know, a lot of people opening up about, you know, things in their lives, and that's not always gonna be nice and fun. It's not like that. But I think as I was listening to the message and then listening to just Brett sharing right now, when I think of walking in the light, I think of like that feeling of warmth, of like, when you're walking in the light, you're walking in like some kind of like warm mm-hmm. feeling, like mm-hmm. some, I don't know, like a blanket or something. I'm kind of cold right now, but that's kind of the feeling that I get, or like the image that I get. And so when we're thinking about walking in the light, it's like I would be attracted to that, or I would want to walk in that mm. to feel that warmth and that warmth from Jesus, right? But a lot of times when we are doing that and when we do expose ourselves, that doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always mm-hmm. feel warm and fuzzy. It doesn't always feel mm. like fun. But like that's the image that I get of like, okay, if we are to walk in the light, it's good mm. for us. It's warm.
I'm glad you get that image, because when we first started talking about that, I was like, what's going to happen? Because I think, you know, for me growing up, it was always the fear of, oh, I'm going to get in trouble, or, oh, how am I going to look to other people? Get rejected, mm-hmm. get mm-hmm. pushed away. I'm going to be left alone. So, you know, at the first leaders gathering, actually I got to share on this. This was my session, and I shared with everyone, I'm a professional hider, mm. right? So I found other ways, you know, most of them were good things, to cover myself, to make it look like, you know, I'm a good runner, or I'm smart, or just different things to kind of more as like distractions mm. so that people don't really get to know the real me, because there's so many other things that are going on. And I think for me, that's one of the things that the Lord had been highlighting to me, is this: I've been hiding for my whole life, and it's time for me to come into the light and let people see who I really am, and not just all of these other things that I do, but to see me too. And I think that's really what the Lord is leading us in as a church, is he wants us to walk as who we really are, and not as who the world expects us to be, or to walk as who we even who we think we should be, but really to walk in who we were created to be, right? And in order for that to happen, sometimes we have to shed some of these other things that are covering mm-hmm. it up.
Yeah, while you were talking, it made me think of, I've shared it in some messages or some different formats. My very first prayer ministry session was when they were just forming the team. So this is like, was this like 15 years ago or something. So at that time, like the different small group mini church leaders, they wanted all of us. I wasn't an elder. So it was just like mini church leaders. They wanted us to be like the guinea pigs and kind of go have a session so they can practice. And we want you guys to have a session anyway. So I went there, and part of that session, I actually had to confront something that I had carried for my whole life, which was a fear. Like, it was specifically, maybe it was fear of man or fear, but it was just, in general, it was fear. I needed to release fear. And I remember I had this thing where they were leading me into doing an exchange. So like, okay, Jesus wants to take it from you, and then he wants to give you something in return. And I could visualize, I had this, I don't even remember what color it was, but I had this like ball type thing in my hands, and I had this fear, and Jesus was like, I could see like him in my mind. I could see that he had his hands extended waiting for me to give it to him. He wouldn't take it from me, but he wanted me to give it to him. And I had this weird feeling inside, which I knew wasn't right, but I just felt like, I don't know if I can trust him with my fear. And it was like, what? And so I'm kind of like wrestling with this while we're having this session. I'm like, why do I not want to? I know in my mind rationally, this is not a good thing. I need to get rid of it. But it had been with me for so long. I felt like it was part of me. And I'm like, I don't know if I could trust Jesus to take my fear. Like, what's he going to do with it? It's kind of like part of who I am. And then I finally was able to give it to him. And then he gave me, I think he gave me like the sash from around his waist. And so then, but what, once I released it to him, I knew I could trust him. But it was like this weird dynamic of something I knew was bad for me. And so it's kind of like that living in the light. Like when you're used to being in the dark, you know, living in the light's going to be warm, right? Julie, it's a good thing, but you're so used to the dark. And it's like, but this is what I know. This is what I'm used to. I don't know. That looks good, but what if it's not? Or what if I don't know if I can trust it? So it reminded me of that. And it's weird how things that we know aren't good can just become part of us. And we kind of get stuck. We're like, I don't know how to get out of this hole. So I think those experiences we had in those retreats and those gatherings, it was like so blunt that it was just, we're just going to cut into it and get rid of it instead of a nice, soft, like long journey of how, you know, it was, I think sometimes we just need to just get yanked, either us get yanked out of it or that thing yanked out of us. So I don't know if you guys have thoughts on that, but it's interesting how we can kind of get in a twisted place when we know that's not where we should be.
I think one of the things that is tougher or kind of sad that I can see what you're talking about is when like the dark becomes kind of like the normal or what people are used to
or safe or
what they assume. So then it's kind of like it is a safety blanket. Mm-hmm. It is what makes them feel comfortable because change or what if things don't get better? It's kind of like expecting the worst. It's like it takes away your hope and anything that could be different. It's like, well, I know what this is like and I can still make do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather not risk it because then if I'm let down or whatever. I mean, there's a saying, but I don't want to use it because I think they use the word the devil, but it's like what you know is better than what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like that risk adverse kind of a little bit. And so I think that's the part that I'm more aware of when I see and I've been able to talk to people and walk with people in certain situations. It's identifying like not so much that they can't, or when it's identifying like, okay, why does this person do this? Or why do they make the choices that they do? There's like a greater understanding and empathy of like, oh, it's bigger than just like getting over this issue or they're in this situation. There's times where they're so used to this or experiencing this that it has become the norm or like a safe haven for them. And so trying to change that is harder than, even though there could be good, mm-hmm. a good option, it's harder to get to that point than they rather just stay mm-hmm. where they're at. And that's the part where I've tried to grow in trying to like exhort and walk people mm-hmm. to feel like they can make a change or step into the light.
Yeah, I think for some people, I think it's hard to acknowledge or recognize that there's some things that we need to let go of or bring. Mm-hmm. You know, we might be continuing to live in like the same pattern and mm-hmm. of fear or, you know, just trying to hide away or things like that. And I think sometimes we need other people to point that out in us. And sometimes, you know, if we listen to what God has to say to us, then, you know, he can tell you what it is and you can give that to him. But I think another part of it too is just it's really uncomfortable for a lot of people. Even if we do recognize that there's some things, it's like a lot of people just push that aside. Mm. And because that's what's more comfortable. I know like for myself, there's, you know, I feel like I've matured in a lot of different things and given up a lot of like things that have happened in my life up to God and mm-hmm. felt like I've matured in a lot of ways through those experiences. But I think I have to constantly recognize like, okay, this is how it's affecting my life. And now like, how do I continue to bring that to Jesus so that he could mm-hmm. redeem each action or redeem each thing from it? Mm-hmm. So it takes work. And I think you've talked about it before. I say we, but it's because I listen to you guys.
Yeah,
you're like part of the conversation already.
But
just part of the team.
But it's the ongoing process, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not just, okay, we're talking about it now at church. Okay, so now let's share all our deepest, darkest secrets yeah. and be healed from it. That's not, right. You know, I think the expectation anyone has, you know, for people. It's just not, that's not healthy, I don't think.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think part of that too is just our will, right? There's sometimes other people, you need other people to speak into you and point things out, but there's still that part of, is my will strong enough? And sometimes it's like, oh, I think the will gets a bad rap sometimes because it's like you don't want to strive or you don't want to make it about that type of action or response. But sometimes it's like, no, but that's what it requires. You need the will to at least get some momentum to get out of that place, right? Right where you're stuck in the dark and you're used to it. Okay, you need the will to just, okay, that person just pointed out, I'm either going to ignore it or I'm going to act on it. Or God just pointed it out. I'm going to ignore it or I'm going to act. That's your will. Like, you have to, like, get that to get some momentum. And then there's, you know, the other things that can come alongside it. But, yeah, no, I've wrestled with that. Like, my will is, like, it's better now. It's better in a better place. But I've gone through seasons where, oh, man, just it could torpedo you, too.
It's funny, too, because the image I got as Julie was sharing was, some people don't even know certain things are in the dark.
Mm.
And so then it's like, they, like, whether it's the enemy or just experience, like, they don't recognize that there is something different that's like the light.
Mm.
They don't know that warm feeling, right? And so the picture that it brought to mind was, sometimes it happens with Brittany, but I remember when I was living with my parents, sometimes my dad would be like,
be careful what you say. She listens to the show.
Okay. Just... the last episode when I made that joke, I was actually listening with her. She was listening in the car and she just like shook her head. And then, yeah. But anyways, when I was living with my parents, sometimes my dad would come into the room and be like, dude, you need to turn on a light. And I'm like, it's not even dark in here. Mm. And he's like, it's not good for your eyes or whatever parents say. Right. And then they flip on the light and it's obviously different.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, it's like, I don't need that light because it doesn't feel dark in here. And so that picture came to mind when, you know, there's people that I think they don't, whether the enemy has kind of convinced them or they feel safer in there, they don't recognize that it's dark. And so then to feel the need for the light is like, but it's not dark in here. I don't need the light. But then for someone to be able to point it out or to be able to walk with them or for them to receive that and be highlighted from the Lord, then I think that's where it kicks in. Like, okay, is this something or... that I need to do about, or how can I do something about it? And so I think part of our job too of being a city on a hill is that it reflects God's light so that people, I don't want to say just recognize that they're in the dark, like, oh, we're putting you to shame, but to see that, oh no, there is something more.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of different thoughts.
Okay, well, I'll say one thing while you're collecting which way you want to go. But to me, like when you were just sharing it for Julie and Brett, both of you, when you're sharing, and then you guys being in a small group together, I think it highlights the importance of community and people that are not only there to support you, but willing to speak into you when it could be either taken the wrong way or taken, well, that's like one of the biggest things probably, but that they care about you enough that they don't want to see you stay in that place of darkness where you don't have the self-awareness to be like, really? I'm like, you were just saying, I'm in the dark. But you need that outside perspective, and it takes vulnerability, it takes courage to invite those people, you know, into that space.
Yeah. Julie could probably agree. We probably had a little bit too much of the experience with that in this past season.
I mean, I think when we're talking about things like living in the dark and people's experience of like coming to church or coming to the Lord or things like that, I'm wondering if the enemy has done a good job of distorting people's perspective on what the light is, right? So I don't know if people think, Brett and I've had some of this discussion in the past about like, you know, people that are hurting, people that are broken, where's the best place for them? Like the church should be the best place for them, but for a lot of them, they feel like I can't go to church or that's not a place. I've heard friends of mine, I'm just going to burn up when I go to that place, right? Mm. And it's like, okay, if that's their perspective of church, then... Mm. How are they ever going to experience the life that the Lord wants for them? And so just my question is like, how much do you think we need to change the perception of what church is and how do we do that?
Mm-hmm. I think that starts by living in the light. That's your simple answer. Gosh, where was I going to go with that? I think for a lot of us, you know, we're, for people who attend church regularly and for people who don't, you know, we all go through different things. We all go through, if anything, the same things as people who are unchurched. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for people who do regularly attend church, there's a difference in how we handle it. There's a difference in how we live through it and how we overcome things or just how we look at different things. And I think, you know, to be like a city on a hill, or even to think of like a lamp, right? Like I have this lamp in my backyard that attracts mosquitoes. It's supposed to like zap them. Not trying to zap people, but but you get the like, you get the idea.
Going with that?
You get the idea, right? Where it's attractive to people in the way that we shed that light in how we live our lives, and that also means with the deep dark things that we all deal with, because we all deal with it, as we've learned this past Sunday, or even just hearing a lot of the people's testimonies during the leaders retreat too. It's just like, you know, we're not alone in a lot of these things we deal with. And so if we can come together as a church and can show people who don't usually come that this is how we live with it, and it's okay because Jesus is there to redeem it. And I think a lot of people can question that and wonder and be curious about why that is. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I stole Brett's line. Okay, Brett, you're up.
I don't know how we do it. I think there's a part of it that God is leading and revealing to us specifically for our church and how we're doing it. I guess in a general sense, okay, now my thoughts are going everywhere. Sorry. In a general sense, how we either show people or allow people to experience it differently, specifically like when it comes to church or their experience. Sometimes I think we, and I can do it, I can overthink it or overanalyze it. And really it's like, just being a good person to other people. And that sounds so cliche or just so whatever you want to call it, plain, simple. But I think especially in today's culture and the world today, like giving somebody your time, talking to someone and asking about like them and hearing their story is just finding those connection points that allow them to feel, I think, like seen and heard. And through that, it's like they may be able to recognize like, oh, wow, that person didn't judge me, or the assumptions that they have don't come to fruition. And so then it kind of leaves like a intrigue or a question mark, something different than what they're expecting. And so I don't know if that really answers your question, but I feel like if we do that collectively and as individuals, it could possibly give people like a different picture and maybe a willingness to be open to asking you questions then of like, oh, like how are you able to deal with that, or how are you able to stay so calm, or wow, you didn't judge me for that, or what have you gone through? And then you say, well, I'm, you know, just working on it myself and trying to follow Jesus. And then it's a way to kind of bring church or God into the space, rather than just them assuming if I go to church, some condemnation or judgment's going to come upon me.
I think for me, that's why, you know, we have these themes for the beginning of this year, and probably for the whole year we're going to be going through this, is because the Lord wants us to experience it first, right? So if we recognize that there's areas that we've been in the dark, or we've been trying to keep in the dark, or we've been trying to hide, then how are we going to help bring other people to experience God's love for those areas that they're hiding if we can't even experience in those areas in our own life, right? So I think for us, that's part of what he's doing in us, is he's highlighting that for us as a church to say, there's certain areas of your life that you're not allowing the Lord to love. You're not allowing the Lord to redeem. Kind of, I really love, Julie, how you keep talking about Jesus redeeming each thing, right? There's areas in our life that we haven't given to the Lord to allow him to redeem. And so what bringing those things to the light is it's allowing us to experience his love in those areas to set us free from that. And then now that we've experienced, we can invite other people into experience that too. And so, yeah, I really feel like, you know, some of the stuff that you were talking about, Brett, in terms of we got to experience it first individually before we can invite other people into that. I feel like that's why he's highlighting it for us in this season, because as a city on a hill, there's going to be people that see us and say, what's different about those people? There's something different that's intriguing that I want. Mm-hmm. And he's highlighting that for us so that we can then pass it on to other people too. I think one of the things that kind of to shift directions too, one of the things that I wanted to talk about on the podcast, because I don't think Pastor Barry talked about it too much this past Sunday, is that, you know, a lot of times when we think of bringing things to the light, it's like our deepest, darkest secrets, or it's the shame stuff or the sin stuff. But, you know, walking in the light doesn't necessarily just mean that, right? Walking in the light just means walking in the truth. And so the Lord wants us to continuously be walking in the truth. And so in that, you know, I think there's times where we need to just slow down, take some steps and say, like, are there things that I'm believing that are not true? Are there things that I'm believing? Are there ways that I'm living my life that are not in alignment with God's truth? And say, okay, this is actually an area of darkness that's not light. How do I continue to walk in the light? And so I think for that, in terms of walking in the light, I wanted us to kind of have a discussion on what that looks like in terms of not necessarily just focusing on the sin part. Because I think that's kind of, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people, but it's not always that. Brett, you look like you have something you want to say.
I actually had a good conversation today with Christian. Shout out to Christian. And part of it was like, how do we keep how do we continually align ourselves with the Lord? Mm-hmm. And so I think part of, like, to me, the next step or the thing that I think of, okay, we need to walk in the light is like, well, how do you like remain or stay in the light? Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is to find ways that you can incorporate the Lord or partner with him more frequently. And so, I mean, today's conversation, we talked about like some Bible verses to memorize, prayers that we can say, you know, just throughout the day before we're going into situations, or if we know something that is coming up is tough or we're having a hard day, what are things that we can do to get our minds focused on seeing things more the way that the Lord wants us to see it? And I think those are ways where, yeah, that doesn't necessarily have to deal with sin or something deep or dark, but it's just like trying to be more like him in like an everyday sense. And so I do think one big way, and I don't do a good job of it, is to memorize scripture or just different verses that speak to you, that have power, that help you align yourself with the Lord, so that when you're in that place or you're not even sure what to think, you can repeat those things and say them as a prayer, or even just there's verses that I will repeat in my head over and over and over again, just so that is like what's on the forefront of my mind. And I think just through that, even though it may not feel like a switch is flipped and all of a sudden like, oh, I'm brand new or I'm different, I do believe that partnering with the Lord in that way, he does you're just more in tune with that frequency that the Lord is operating on, rather than just trying to do it like all by yourself. And I think that's often the times when we start to drift out of the light, is when we just try to do it by ourselves.
Yeah, I think, I don't know when this was. It was last year when, during church we passed out like those like half sheets with the different like, statements on them. I don't know if you remember that. There's like verses and it
the
has
who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
Statements.
Yeah. So I have that like posted up in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I think just going off what Brett was saying, like I will look at that every time I leave the room, or like it's next to the mirror. So whenever I look in the mirror, if I'm having a bad day or whatever, it'll say like, you are a child of God. Okay, great. Thanks. So, and part of it for me is just maintaining that connection with God and like constantly asking God, well, what do you think of me? What do you think of me in this moment when I feel a certain way? Mm. What do you think of me when I'm, you know, feeling down about myself, or if I'm having a bad day, what do you think of this situation that I'm encountering? And I think shout out to that Hearing God class, because it was really, really good. And I think everyone should join it if you haven't already, but, like constantly having that connection with God and asking him what he's thinking, I think dispels a lot of like the lies that we walk in a lot that keeps us in the dark. I know for myself, like, I'll struggle a lot with those thoughts, like a lot. But learning how to connect with God and learning how to hear him in those moments has really helped me. So that I can like live in like how he wants me to live.
Yeah. So like, it sounds like self-awareness, or just awareness of the negative thinking or the things that can bring you down. Cause I was kind of thinking, Brett, while both you and Julie were sharing, it's like the renewing of the mind, right? It's those verses, because like, it's what are the inputs you're having come in. If they're just, even if they're neutral, then that's probably not going to keep you sustained, right? It's going to lead you to be more susceptible to being drifting towards lies or things that the enemy wants you to believe in. But yeah, if you're bringing in verses and you're listening to podcasts that are uplifting or challenging, and where you're learning truth and stuff, Damon, like where you can bring that in, or even just the type of music you listen to, like those little things, like you said, Brett, they're not going to be like an instant, like, okay, now I'm like, I got it all together. But those little by little will take away some of the negative things that had been bringing you down. If you remove some of those and replace them with something positive, that can be a huge shift in your outlook, and then your response when things, especially when, I mean, I think we all know it. It's really when the bad things happen. It's like, how are you going to respond? When good things, it's like, okay, for the most part, you can kind of be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm in alignment. I'm fine. But it's really, you're tested when the hard days at work, it's a struggle with a coworker, it's a struggle with a family member, it's a health issue or whatever. That's when it's like, oh, really? Is that really sunk in deep enough, or is it still on the surface and that kind of got washed away already?
Yeah, Julie, I'm really glad that you talked about how the Hearing the Lord class has been so significant for you, because I think that's something that, again, I think everyone in our church needs to take that class, but I really feel like that's a difference between where we're going as a church than where a lot of church experience that I've had previously before coming to Catalyst. It's different, right? Because I think before it would be like, oh, I need to do what the Bible says, or I need to listen to this type of music, or I need, but I think incorporating hearing the Lord's voice really makes a big difference, because what if the Lord wants you to hear directly from him and not necessarily from a podcast?
Sure.
Right. So in the season that I was in recently, that's one of the things that I felt like the Lord asked me. He said, like, right now, I just want you to hear directly from me. And you're so used to listening to this other person's interpretation of what I'm saying to them through the different podcasts or the different things that I've been listening to, or, you know, listening to Christian music on the radio or things like that. But I felt like during that season, the Lord said, like, I just want you to hear directly from me. Right. And so that hearing his voice really made that season so significant. And I feel like there was a life-changing portion of that season for me that wouldn't have been there if I would, if I would have just been like, okay, I'm just going to keep listening to different podcasts or different music or different things like that. So just being aware of where the Lord is leading us in those times, I really feel like that's a big difference between like what we're doing as a church is we're trying to seek what, you know, that type of intimacy that is only through relationship and not just like, okay, I'm a good Christian because I read my Bible and I listen to these podcasts and I listen to this music and those types of things. But really it's having that intimacy with the Lord and hearing directly from him. And so, yeah, I just appreciate you sharing that, Julie. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad that you pointed that out too, because yeah, even good things can become either neutral or negative, because like the way you're describing, those are like distractions too, right? So something that could be good and could be fruitful and bring life to you, if you're then turn it into a distraction so you don't have to deal with certain things or then it clouds out God's voice, then it actually becomes a distraction.
Are you trying to throw in a discussion we had earlier?
Sure. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Oh, yeah. That was this afternoon. Huh?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. So this afternoon, Kyle and I were having a discussion about, when I was growing up, I was probably middle school, probably seventh grade. There was a no TV week. I might have shared that on the podcast before, but so for science class, we had to do no TV week.
It's pretty hardcore middle school you got there.
Well, it was a science experiment because they wanted to see
that. Okay, science for teachers, science. Yeah, they're a little they're
yeah. So, but before no TV week, we had to figure out how much TV was everybody watching beforehand before they had to give it up, right? And so, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I watch like 2 hours a day. I watch like an hour a day. And then, so here comes me. It's 10 and a half hours a day. And they're like, what? It's like the TV's just always on in my house. Right?
School, TV, sleep, right? Is that kind of three?
So during no TV week, that was like the worst week of my life at that time, because all I kept hearing were all of these negative thoughts and negative voices. And it was just like, you're not good enough. How come you're alone, home alone? How come you watch so much TV? Don't you have any friends? Like just all of these negative thoughts and emotions. So I recognized at that time, that's one of the reasons that I watched so much TV was because I was trying to escape. I was trying to run away from those things, right? And so in a similar way, I could see how, you know, listening to podcasts or listening to Christian could be a way for me to escape some of those negative thoughts or feelings instead of interacting with those with the Lord, right? And saying, Lord, you know, this is a thought I'm having right now. This is a feeling I'm having right now. Let's talk about it. Instead, I'm just running away, but, oh, I'm listening to this podcast. That sounds really good. It makes me feel good about myself. Mm. But it never really helps me to address or bring healing to that area. And so that was something that I had to recognize in myself that, oh, I'm using these other things sometimes as escape mechanisms so that I don't have to deal with some of the stuff that's actually going on inside of me. And so during that season, that's what I felt like the Lord was saying, like, I want you to deal with these things directly with me instead of just trying to run away or escape or hide or that. So even sometimes some of the good things can end up being really escape mechanisms or ways to hide and stay in the dark, even though it's something that's supposed to be good.
I'm glad I went that way. It wasn't intentional, but I'm like, see, you were meant to share that today. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, since we had that discussion this afternoon.
I felt like 2 weeks ago. It's been a long day.
All right. So, you know, our episode is getting a little longer. Just wanted to see if you guys had any closing thoughts on this week's topic of walking in the light. Julie, you have anything you want to share?
I'll give you a moment to think. I'm excited for this year, wholehearted surrender, living in the light. They're not easy topics, but I feel like that's good for our church. Like, because God has a place that he wants us to go and he's taking us to that. Yeah. Like, okay, let's go. Let's buckle up. Let's get our act together. And actually then let's strengthen our will a little bit and let's push in and pursue these kind of things. And I think doing it in community, doing it as a church body, it's going to be really exciting where we get to at the end of the year. I don't know that I'm super excited in the moment, but I know thinking of it in the more the future tense of like, oh, we have a church retreat this year. So even for that, and then after that, like, oh, I think we're going to look back and go like, oh, these two themes were really significant for our church.
Yeah, I think just looking forward ahead into the year, Kyle, like, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for where the church is going with it because I really appreciate the topic and just learning about that. I think, you know, it's going to be hard for me, hard for a lot of people, but I think at the end of it, it's going to be beautiful. And that's kind of the picture that I got. It's just that God is doing something really beautiful with the church. So I'm happy about that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm thankful for our leadership and elders and staff for just discerning. And to me, it also shows the heart that our leadership has for the body and for the Big C church too. Mm. And then I think in part with that, the youth, we've been kind of mirroring it a little bit. And so I think even to see it trickle down has been cool in the ways that they are digesting some of the similar themes has been cool to see even at, you know, a middle school level to high school level, them engaging with the concepts of surrender, of wholehearted surrender, of the themes that the congregation is going through, the adults, for me especially, I think it's brought a more full picture. Mm. And so I'm excited for our church as a whole and what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm appreciative that, you know, Brett, you are leading our youth and taking the things that we're doing with the adults and taking that to them too.
And Julie.
And Julie too, since you're yeah, with the Forge as well.
I got your back, Julie.
You.
I got your back.
Sorry. I think part of the reason that I'm kind of focusing on that though is because, you know, I texted Brett this week on Sunday after was it Sunday? It might have been Monday too. But there was a significant shift in, like, the attitude of one of my children that might be in the Forge this week. And it was significant to where it was like, what did you guys talk about this week? Because just I'm already giving it away. he was lighter.
He or the, she. Or.
Yeah, there was something in his attitude that shifted this week. And it was like, oh, whatever they're going through in the Forge is good, because that's what we want for everybody in our church. And that's why we're talking about these things of wholehearted surrender and walking the light, is because we want that darkness, that heaviness to be lifted off. And that's really what I felt like my experience was with my son, was that there was something that was lifted off of him that has changed. And I think it's carried over for at least through, I mean, we're Wednesday evening right now. So in my experience with him this week, it's carried over. So yeah, I think that's a picture of what we want for all of our people, is just that weight, that heaviness to be lifted off. And the Lord wants to take those things and relieve us and set us free from them. And that's what living in the light and wholehearted surrender is about, is giving those things to the Lord and walking in the light, and he'll set us free. So shout out. Good job, Brett and Julie.
Good job, Brett.
Good job, Julie.
Well, okay.
Brett, you're just like a sideshow.
Well, okay. I'm glad. Well, you're attributing it to Sunday, but it might not even been Sunday, but I'm glad that.
I'm sure it was.
I mean, no comment. But there definitely was a significant shift on Sunday.
Praise right, God.
Right, Damon, bring us home.
All right. Well, I mean, this topic for a lot of people can sound really scary, but I just really like the pictures that Julie has been sharing about the warmth of walking in the light and the beauty of where the Lord is taking us as a church. And, you know, I really feel like those are the things that we should be focusing on, is the Lord wants us to walk in that warmth and that care, the warm embrace from him. And what he's doing in our church is beautiful. So hopefully those are the images that you can take away from this episode, is just really sensing that the Lord is doing something transformative and beautiful in our church. And it's exciting, and it might be a little bit scary, but the Lord is going to gently carry us through it and create something beautiful out of it. So don't be afraid. a lot of us have been walking in this for a little bit, and it hasn't been easy, but it's been good. And so we wanted to leave you with that, just really the anticipation and excitement of the Lord is doing something good, and we get to all participate, and he's invited all of us to experience that as a member of being a part of Catalyst. So just wanted to say thanks again to Julie. Julie, thanks for coming on.
The first of many times she'll be on here.
Yes.
That's a prophetic word for you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yes, Julie, you're always welcome to come back on. Maybe next time we won't have Kyle on, so.
Yeah. Hey. What? Yes.
Oh, Julie and Mimo.
My wife can take my spot. Yes. Dude, I like that. That's a good idea.
Then I'll have to tell my wife to take my spot.
Oh, yeah. That would be amazing.
All right, Damon. There you go.
Oh, my wife can't take my spot?
She can.
Well, if you can get her to run the board, I guess. Sure.
All right. Well, Julie, like we said, you're always welcome to come on. And maybe next time we'll have Mimo come on, too.
Yeah, do it.
And we also have another exciting guest for next week. So it's awesome. I feel like we're starting this year off strong with some awesome sisters coming on and sharing what the Lord's been helping them to walk through, and also helping us to dive deeper into some of these sermons. So looking forward to having more guests coming on. We've got another special one next week. Hopefully we'll keep them coming. So like we keep saying, if you are a regular listener and you want to come on, just let us know.
Wait, is there anybody you want to call out, Julie? Ooh. I mean, because that is an opportunity. Sitting in the seat has its privileges.
It's a big responsibility.
You don't have to, but I mean, if you feel like it, you can.
I'll call them out in person.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Good idea.
So if you see Julie walking up to you, you know what she's going to say.
Run.
No, yeah, don't walk. Run.
All right. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we're excited for what the Lord is bringing in 2025. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.